Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come into the house of the Lord this evening. Oh God, how I pray that you would deal with our hearts, Lord, and encourage us, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord, in the way in which we are to go. Lord, we just pray tonight that you just put your touch and your inspiration upon the word. Sometimes, Lord, we just search for so many things that could be said. But what we really want, Lord, is that which would you would have us to say. And so we pray, O God, tonight that you would just quicken your word to us, Lord, and bless it. Father, I pray you'd speak to us and encourage us again, Lord. We just look to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we just pray your blessings be upon us. Father, I commit this service to you, and I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the reality of your spirit. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we turn to Joshua chapter 1? And we just read the first three verses. Joshua chapter 1, and just the first three verses. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. I guess when we read this situation, we see the handing of the guard over from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua was given the commission to take the people over into the promised land. And when you think about the 40 years that they'd been through, and going right back to the promises of Abraham that they would have that land, and then you look at the deliverance out of Egypt into the wilderness on their way towards the promised land, under a promise of God, not very far away from the promised land from the very start, but we see the frustrations, we see the failures, we see the carcasses in the wilderness, we see the situation after 40 years would probably have been a little bit discouraging. A lot of the old guard had passed on. Joshua, well, he wasn't that young actually, because he'd been with Moses up on the mountain from the beginning. He was he had understudied Moses, and we see that the hour arrived when Moses is dead, and there was going to be a change in the whole leadership. It was going to go out of the hands of Moses, and it was going to go into the hands of Joshua. We find that that was quite a significant change. And I, you know, Moses really did represent that prophet that brought the word of the Lord to Israel. But Joshua actually represented the Holy Spirit that took them over. And the wonderful thing about it is that once it was handed over to Joshua, instead of 40 years, it was 3 days. And I think that God did something very quickly there to fulfill the promises. There was no time to stop and think. There was no time to worry about the past. He said, get ready quickly because we're going over. And I feel that's a good type of where we stand in this day. Joshua was very much commanded to stay with what Moses had brought to them in the word of the Lord. He was to stay with the message that Moses brought. But God made it very clear that there could be no reliance on Moses any longer because Moses was dead. And that now the commission was going to Joshua. Joshua being a type of the Holy Spirit. And I somehow get the feeling, and this really, I don't want to go into too much detail on this, but I get the feeling that the Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to take up the word that God sent to us. And when the Holy Spirit takes it up and it gets into the hands, out of the hands of man and into the hands of the Holy Spirit, something's going to happen rapidly, quickly, powerfully, and it'll all be over very quick. 3 days, he said, and we'll be over the promised land. Now, if you were some of those people that had lived through that 40-year period, and somebody, God comes along and tells Joshua 3 days and it'll all be done, seemed like a long time, and it does for us. And I want to talk about that condition and how finally there was a final charge, the last charge to go over the border, the last charge of God to go over and take the land that God had given them concerning Israel. I want to also talk about that in relation to the church of God. But I also want to talk to you about, when I entitled this sermon, The Last Charge, I want to talk to you about something else, and that is something that took place in World War I, and which to me very much parallels much of what we want to talk about, and about the last charge. And so we look at Israel, they had failed. It looked like all attempts to take the promised land for 40 years had failed. All the efforts of man had failed. The law couldn't take them over. They just couldn't take them over. And then when they finally were going to go over, God said to them in Deuteronomy 9, he said, when you do go over, I'm going to drive them out today, but when you do go over, please do not say, for my righteousness hath the Lord taken me over. But it was because God gave a commitment in his word. Not for our righteousness will God restore that which is promised to us in these last days, not because we deserve it, not because we're worthy of it, but because God promised it. And there's one thing about God, if he gives his word, he always keeps it. And so we believe that. So when we think of the church in the last day, I haven't brought a whole lot of quotes because, you know, we should know these things, but Pentecost is the church's homeland. You'll never be at home unless you're in that place. I think I might have mentioned it the other night. Our homeland is that Pentecostal blessing. That's where we are fulfilled. That's where we belong. That's what God's charge was. That's what the restoration is all about, is to get back to that original blessing, to that original power, to the original word, to the original gospel. And that's the church's homeland. And our Joshua, the Holy Spirit, will lead the charge. And that last charge is under the Holy Ghost, as we just mentioned. Now I want to talk to you about something that I believe types all of that and the courage that's required for that, by something that took place in World War I. And this is in relation to the liberation of Jerusalem, which was really the first step in Israel being restored in the last days to becoming a nation. And it had been a long, hard and wearisome battle. I've read quite a bit about the Light Horsemen in the First World War, and it's intriguing reading. Those men were tremendously courageous. They lived under huge hardship. and they were trying to drive the Turks out of the Middle East and to liberate Jerusalem. And I want to talk to you about the last charge to take Beersheba. And Beersheba was a very important position, because if they were able to take Beersheba, it meant that that was the door that opened the pathway to taking Jerusalem when General Allenby went in there and liberated Jerusalem. But the first step was, and the strategic thing that they had to take Beersheba. And it's interesting, Beersheba was the place of the ancient wells of the Bible. That's where Bible wells were. That's where the water was. And of course, in a dry and thirsty land, where the water is very important. And I can say today, wherever the Holy Spirit's moving, that's very important to us. That's the place we want to be. It's a dry and thirsty land out there, spiritual a drought. And so they wanted to take Beersheba, but it was very difficult, because it was greatly reinforced by the Turkish army. Now, I forget the number. I haven't got the number here, but I know when it was taken, I think their numbers were outnumbered. I think it was 10 to 1 or 4 to 1. I can't quite remember. But anyway, in the history of this, 50,000 British troops were unable to take the wells of Beersheba. So they had all the cannons and they had everything. They bombarded Beersheba. They tried to take it. 50,000 British troops. And so they were at the end of their tether. And I just read a little bit on that. Over 50,000 British troops had tried to take Beersheba and had failed. Dwindling supplies of water demanded that the water wells of Beersheba be taken at once. In other words, they'd reached a point of absolute desperation. And I think that's the way it needs to be. I don't see much of it, but that's the way it needs to be for us today. That without getting to a point of absolute desperation, we cannot take comfort in the fact that we've received a message in the last days. We cannot take comfort that we say, well, we believe a prophet. We cannot take comfort that Moses led us in the wilderness for 40 years. We cannot take comfort in any other thing. We cannot take comfort that we belong to a church. We cannot take comfort in anything else, because really the great need of this hour is that we need the desperation for the water, for the Holy Spirit. But we don't see that desperation much. It's not very often preached, the real tremendous need that we have for the waters of life. It's not often preached. It's not enforced or made an imperative these days. Just believe it and you've got it, which really is just a smokescreen of the enemy.
Amen.
But we need to have a desire for the waters. Amen. And it got really desperate for them, because the supplies of the waters, supplies of waters demanded that the waters of the water wells of Beersheba be taken at once. And let me say that, you say, when do I need the Holy Ghost at once? Yeah. When do you need it? Right now.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of position we need to be in. We need it right now. We can't be waiting for something to come in the morrow or in the future. Between you and God, as I said the other night, that needs to be settled. We need the waters of life. The capture of Beersheba was vital to the liberation of Jerusalem. With the day nearly over, and you know that's really very much where we're at. The day is nearly over.
Amen.
Hey, the whole thing is falling apart around the world now. Everywhere we look at it, Christianity is falling apart. We see even in message circles the same thing's happening. There's so many doubts come in. There's so much negativity come against the messenger. And there's been so many extremes this way, so many extremes that way. But God told Joshua to stay with it. Don't cast it out. Stay with it. But don't divert from it to the left hand or to the right hand. But stay with it. But you know, it was absolutely vital. The day was nearly over. And it was now or never. And that's a really earnest thing, isn't it? It's now or never. When it's now or never, it means that promotes some very desperate, an extra special activity and desire in the heart of the believer to say, for me, it's now or never. And I can say that it's a very important thing that we have that desperation. The horses could not go without water another day. I think they'd gone 72 hours without water. And you know it's very hot over there. Very hot. And so the horses couldn't go without water another day. The time had come to commit the reserve. The light horsemen were not the main focus of the battle. They were few in number and sat at the rear waiting for their time to come. And I think that's the way it is. God's true church is small in number. It's not the majority. It's not the major 50,000 force troops. It was only 800 of them, the light horsemen. They were waiting in the back. They were few in number, but they were waiting for their time to come. I mean, those men actually believed they could take the wells. And, you know, everybody else was discouraged. But this was the last desperate effort to take the wells of Bathsheba. You know, sometimes it seems like every effort to revive God's people has failed. It doesn't matter how many meetings you have. It doesn't matter how long you gather together. It just seems like you can't. It just seems hard to revive God's people. The church languishes and the famine is taking its toll. People don't have the strength or the energy or the desire for God like they should. Israel itself, as we said, had failed to take their promise after 40 years. They had failed still to take the promise. It seemed like there was no man to meet the need of the hour. And I say that God must come on the scene.
Amen.
I say there is no other solution but God to come on the scene. We need God to visit us.
Amen.
In this hour. And it's not me. It's not I could preach and, you know, you can have the best preachers and everything else. And that's all good and wonderful. But really, we need God to come on the scene. That's what is really imperative for us today, is for God to come on the scene. So as we said, the day was far spent. It was late in the day that they realised one last effort was needed. They couldn't go another day without water. One last effort was needed. You know, it's been a long day. God's people are weary. Tired from the battle. These men were tired. They'd been fighting for years out there in the desert sands. It was really tough. This was the last. If they could break Bathsheba, if they could get to those waters, which were the original Bible wells, with the original water that had been dug by the forefathers. Those wells were dug by Jacob and the forefathers. If they could only get there. You know, Romans 11 verse chapter 13 verses 11 and 12 says, and that knowing the time that it is now time, high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. You know, the summer is almost over, opportunities are almost gone. It's almost, there has to be one day, a last call and a final call of the Spirit for those that need the seal of God. And who knows, but it might be today. You know, we're always putting it off somewhere, but it could be today. Jeremiah said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's not where we want to end up today. We want to say, the summer is almost ended. It's just about run out of time for everybody. It's come to this point. And maybe there's a lot that are not saved, even of our loved ones, and even of people sitting in the church tonight, that are not really sealed with God, not sealed in with God, not saved, but there is an opportunity. There is a final call that God sends out. And for these troops now, and for that whole campaign that they've been fighting now for some years, it was now or never. Down to the last day of water, and the loss of the whole campaign was in threat. And that's when the Australian General Chevelle had been ordered to take Beersheba before nightfall. So the British had said to the Australian general, he said, I want you to take Beersheba by nightfall. He said, I've given you one day. These were minimal troops, but he said, I want you to take Beersheba by nightfall. And that Chauvel actually had other units available, but he commanded to put Grant straight at it. That was one of his leading men. Grant led the 4th Light Horse Brigade. The 4th and the 12th Australian Light Horse Regiments drew up behind a ridge, some 800 horsemen. It was an inspirational time. Those that saw it said it was an inspirational time. From the crest of the ridge, Beersheba was in full view. So they come up from behind the hill, and now they're on the top of the hill. And they're stopping at the top of the hill, these 800 horsemen, and down below they can see Beersheba. And they know that's where the water is, and they've been given a commission to take it. The course lay down a slight slope, which was bare of cover. Between them and the town, there were the formidable enemy defences. The Turks were dug in all around Beersheba. Trenches all around. Couldn't get at them. The 4th was on the right, the 12th on the left. They rode with bayonets in hand. Each drew up on a squadron frontage. Every man knew that only a wild, desperate charge would have any hope of success of taking Beersheba by dark. A wild, desperate charge. And I remember a story that Brother Branham told when he said that he was out in the winter at night. He was a snowstorm had come in, and he'd been out there hunting, and he was trapped out there at night. And he said the only way that they could survive, or he could survive, was climbing up and down a pine tree all night, because that kept the warmth in his body. So he climbed a pine tree up and down that pine tree all night. Just desperate times required desperate measures. And these light horsemen knew that it was going to take a desperate charge. And I really feel that way today. The waters are before you. There's an enemy between you and those waters. But it's going to take a desperate charge on behalf of the believer to get through to God, to drink from the original Bible wells and the original waters that God has provided for them, for us. The generals knew this was the last day of their opportunity, and they called for a final charge. You know, the church is going to have a final charge.
Yeah.
You know, there's coming a final charge. The opposition was very heavy. They had an overwhelming amount of artillery, machine guns. They'd entrenched themselves in and around Beersheba. And I can tell you now, there's never been such demonic opposition to people getting through to God.
Amen.
There's never been so many distractions in life as there is today. There's never been. Don't be consumed with the cares of this world or with the distractions of this life or your plans or your objectives. If you haven't received the seal of God, get desperate.
Amen.
And make a final charge for it, because the hour is very late and the day is far spent. With heavy opposition. There's never been a time when there's been more opposition. I've seen people I thought were pillars actually fall under the enemy. I've seen families being broken that you would never believe would have happened. Never believed it. 30 years in the fellowship. 30 years married and then broken up. Awful things. You know, and they were committed and dedicated for many, many years. But you can't take it for granted. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's the only keeping power that we have.
Right.
It's the only thing that will give us preventative grace to keep us from a world of sin and destruction. And anything can happen in this life. I can tell you now that those that have the seal of God are going to be protected and kept, just like the 144,000 will be in the tribulation. There is a need today for the seal of God. Unless we're sealed in, when you're sealed in, the devil can't get you out. But if you're not sealed in, he'll find a way and put a strategy together to try to bring you down. And that's how serious it is. It's a desperate hour, it really is. And I could not make it more desperate. I could not preach it as desperate as it really is. I can only tell you, and then somebody says, I wish you'd stop putting all this on us and making us fear and everything else. One day, we'll find out that it was more earnest than what you've ever heard.
Amen.
Praise God. There's such opposition. You know, it reminds me of when Hezekiah, they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, the day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. In other words, they're coming to the birth, but there's no strength to bring it through to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God help us today. We need the strength to go through to a full birth in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To a full baptism and seal of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We really do. God help us. And let's talk about the last charge of the light horseman, which I'm using to type and I'm chopping and changing around. Forgive me. They moved off at the trot, deploying into artillery formation, 5 yards between each horseman. Almost at once, the pace quickened into a gallop. They started trotting, and then it started to increase, and then those horses started to bolt. They went flat out. They got a smell of that water. And I tell you, if you ever get the scent of God, you see, you've got to pick up the scent. Otherwise you're chasing here and chasing there. But if you ever pick up the scent, it's like a dog or a hound that gets that scent. It's going to run, it's going to keep tracking until it gets there. And let me tell you, you might be going off this way and that way and everything else, but keep tracking. Catch the scent of God. Catch the desire for God. Like those salmon that make their way up to the very origins of where they were born. They get a, they say one tablespoonful, one teaspoonful of water in six Olympic swimming pools is enough scent for a salmon to be able to pick it up in an estuary of many rivers running into it, and they track it all the way down from the main estuary, all the way down up to tributaries, all the way down into other little tributaries, until they find their way back to their original stream. And there's a desperation with those salmon, because they know they're going to die, and they know they've got to get back to the home stream, the home pool, to carry on the next generation. There was a desperation in animal life built into them. They picked the scent of God. And these horses, they picked the scent of God. And the Turks opened fire with artillery, which filled the air with shrapnel. The light horsemen began to fall under heavy fire. They charged on and got under the range of the artillery, only to face heavy machine gun fire. The light horsemen drove in their spurs. They didn't turn around. They just kept going. And that's the way it has to be for you and I. Don't turn around. Keep on going. You've got opposition. You might even be wounded. But just keep on going. Don't give in. They never gave in. And so they were facing this heavy machine gun fire. They drove in their spurs and continued to charge. The charge was so rapid that the Turkish troops in the trenches forgot to adjust the sight for their rifles and were shooting over the top of the Australians. And very soon, they were all over the Turks. The 4th took the trenches with hand-to-hand fighting. I believe they were outnumbered 4-1, but they overcome that Turkish army. 4-1 with their bayonets, hand-to-hand fighting. These men were under inspiration. They say every single one of those saddlebags on those horses had a Bible in it.
Amen.
Amen.
These young men were tremendously gallant. The 12th rode through the gap into the town. Again, there was a bit of hand-to-hand fighting with 5 Turkish troops to 1 Australian. Soon the Turks surrendered. You see, they could not withstand the courage. Do you know when somebody's got courage, the enemy becomes frightened. The enemy responds to that. You know, there's something about courage that never gives in. There's something about courage you can't overcome. And the enemy, the Turks started to panic. You know, they couldn't get the sights on their rifles right. Machine gun fire was going over their head. Artillery fire was going over the head of them. And then before they knew it, the 4th and the 12th Light Horsemen companies were right on top of the Turks. And so, soon the Turks surrendered. Others fled the town and were pursued into the Judean hills and rounded up. In less than an hour, it was all over. In less than an hour. The desert mounted corps watered their horses at the wells of Beersheba, the same wells Abraham had dug so many years before. The desert light horse had ridden into history. It was a tremendous charge. It was the hand of God to liberate Jerusalem. In December 1917, they then liberated Jerusalem from 2 centuries of Turkish rule. The light horsemen had achieved the impossible, opening the way for the Jewish people to return to their homeland.
Amen.
Historically, that was the last charge of the light horsemen. They never used again in battle. That was the last charge. It's a sad story, actually, because, you know, sometimes you get really angry with governments. The governments wouldn't bring the horses home. But those soldiers were so close to those horses. They were almost wedded together in affection because of they had fought their campaign. And of course the light horsemen knew that if they got into the hands of the Arabs, the Arabs would mistreat them. But you know, I believe many of them had to leave that land with tears and leave their horses behind to return home. So it's a sad end to that story. But the light horsemen achieved the impossible, opening the way. And you know, we need to have a last charge. There needs to be a last charge. It's a desperate hour. We don't have time for too many other things. We need to make that last charge. That type of warfare would never be used again. This was their moment. God had his brigade of light horsemen ready. The last charge to the believer. That this same gospel must be preached. It's the last charge. It's the last sending out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God's put such a... of God's servants, he's put such a pressure on to get back to the gospel, to get back to preaching the word of God, get back to the original gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a pressure on. It's the last charge. Send out the message. Send out the word that there is a last charge on to get the original Bible waters. Yes. And that the only way, you must have a desperation and a courage to say, I'm going to do it. Amen. You know, if you lost your job because you spent too much time in prayer, if you lost every asset you had, but if you got the seal of God, you got the greatest asset anybody could have in this hour. I'd rather have the seal of God than any other thing in this world. I mean that with all my heart. I'd rather have that. Take my cars, take my home, take my family, take everything I've got, take the clothes off my back, but don't take the seal of God from me. It's the only security that I have in this day. It is what I need to get through this hour, and that is my eternal seal that'll take me through in a desperate time. And I pray to God that we catch the vision.
Amen.
And the need for the Holy Spirit. We be stirred up in our hearts. God's calling us to the last charge. You know, this was a few skilled horsemen, skilled in hand-to-hand fighting. You know, you're never going to get skilled in it unless you take it on. You know, unless you face the enemy. You've got to do that. This is a testimony of an eyewitness. It was a trooper by the name of Eric Elliott. He didn't even know it was coming. Trooper Elliott had crept to a hillock within 2 miles of Beersheba to act as a rangefinder for artillery. He noticed a cloud of dust behind him. The 4th Horse Brigade suddenly was on the move. A thundering line of charging light horsemen soon appeared over the crest in extended order, followed by a second and then a third line. Directly in their path, Elliot somehow managed to scamper out of the way. It was the bravest, most awe-inspiring sight I've ever witnessed. That's what he said. They were yelling and shouting. There were more than 500 Aussie horsemen. As they thundered past, my hair stood on end. The boys were wild-eyed and yelled their heads off. They went yelling against, you know, my, sometimes we need to shout at the devil, you know that?
Amen.
Sometimes we need to yell against the opposition.
Amen.
You know, they were shouting at the top of their voices. And those Turks saw them coming, I imagine their eyes popped out. And yet there were 8 times, or what was it, 5 times more numbers than what the Australians were. And yet these fellas, in hand-to-hand fighting, overcome them. I think it's a wonderful thing. Men of great courage were ready for the last charge. I guess we have to ask ourselves, are we ready for the last charge? The last charge in your life to get through to God. I'm not saying unchristianizing you, but I tell you, I don't want to be here in the tribulation period. I don't want to be here when things get really bad. But you know, there's a last charge, the call of a last charge to get through to God. You know, when John the Baptist came, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is taken by storm. In other words, it wasn't passive, it was aggressive. And I believe in aggressive Christianity. I believe in aggressive faith. I believe we've got to be that way. I don't believe we want to pet ourselves and comfort ourselves and take it easy, but I believe we need to have an aggression about us. Not against others, not a physical aggression, but aggression in our souls against the powers of darkness of this day. To say, Satan, we come against you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Devil, we're not scared of you. That we believe that we have victory through Jesus Christ's name. That we can get through to God. And we can, as a body of believers, get where God wants us to be so that we'll be ready for that catching away. Praise the Lord. They found water from the well of Beersheba. As I said, Bible wells dug by Abraham. This opened the way for the liberation of Jerusalem. As I said, General Allenby shortly after marched into Jerusalem. The British developed the Balfour Declaration on the 9th of November 1917, and it established a national home in Palestine for the Jewish people. On the 14th of May 1948, the State of Israel was established. I like that year, 1948, it's the one I was born in. You know what? I'm only saying this, don't ever take anything serious about it, but you know, I was born when Israel was born as a nation, and I received the Holy Ghost in the year of Israel's Jubilee. So if there's any more Jubilees, I don't think I'll make another one somehow, but if there's another Jubilee, it'll still be my Jubilee. And I tell you something, to me, it is a wonderful thing to know that the Holy Ghost is our Jubilee today. And I celebrate it and I praise God for it. And you don't know how many times in tears I've looked back and said, Lord, I thank you for that day when you set the Holy Ghost down into my bedroom and the power of God came upon me when I wasn't even expecting it. And I couldn't move. I couldn't even move my head or do anything. I couldn't do anything. And that presence came upon me and went through me and through me and through through me, and I've never been the same since. There's been a presence that has kept me every day of my life since. I should have gone many a time. I should have backslidden and got away. The things that I went through in life should have driven me far away, but they didn't drive me far away. There was a keeping power. There was a seal that God had put upon my life. I thank God every day for the jubilee of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come out to the jubilee. Let's get the refreshing of the Holy Ghost on our lives and be filled with the Spirit in the great jubilee year. Praise God. And we know that Israel's just gone through another jubilee. It's gone, the jubilee year is just coming to an end. Praise the Lord. And that's my 50th anniversary of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, do you keep a record of that? Yes, I tell you something. April 67 is far more important to me than October 48. October 48, I was born in the flesh. April 67, I was born in the Spirit. Yeah. The man that was born in October 1948 is going to die one day, but the man that was born in April of 1967 can never die. Yeah. Hallelujah. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Yeah. So a new man was born, a new spirit came into me, and I live forever in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Maybe take our last charge and the last admonition to get there. June 1967, Israel gained the Golan Heights, the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. All of this began as a result of taking Beersheba from the Turks. All set in motion for the return of the Messiah. That's the end of my sermon. I don't really have to say much more. I think everything's been said that needs to be said. Are you ready for the charge in your own life? Are you ready for desperate measures? Or when all of this is over, just slipping back into the same old routine, same old cares of this life, same old desires of this life? May the Lord help us. Praise God. I trust you've been challenged. I pray that you will be challenged, and I pray that you go all the way with the Lord. Blessed be His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants be there to hinder. We got that one. We are able to go up and take the country. That's the first line. Sorry. You know that one? You don't know? We'll give it a try. Son.
the power.